الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا، صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected Ulama Kiram and beloved brothers, we had been discussing last few weeks those characteristics which are the hallmark of Muslim traders and Muslim businessmen. We should remember at all times, especially in our context, that we are overwhelmed and outnumbered by non-Muslims, and sometimes the first and the last introduction to Islam is our activities. We are ambassadors wherever we go. Person looked at us not as Muhammad and Ibrahim and Ismail, but he looks upon us as a Muslim. And the actions that we practice and the actions that he witnesses, he feels this is Islam. Because a Muslim ought to be following the deen of Islam at all times and in all places. That is why in the past we find there were just some traders that had gone to countries in the Far East. And just because by virtue of their trade, people had accepted Islam. And they had seen the outstanding qualities and those characteristics, those lofty characteristics of a Muslim businessman, it makes him unique and different. They were attracted towards the beautiful teaching of Islam and they accepted Islam. So here these characteristics are very important and very pertinent, especially for us at all times, but in our circumstances especially, and moreover when you are dealing and surrounded by non-Muslims all the time. We had mentioned, or we were discussing that characteristic of a Muslim creditor and debtor. We had mentioned how much virtue there is for that creditor that overlooks the debts of the debtor, how much virtue there is for that person. And likewise, we find that when you look at the creditors, we find that the Muslims are prompt in their payments. This is according to the teachings of Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we do not procrastinate, we do not delay unduly. This was regarded as zulm. The words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, matlul ghaniyya zulmun, the procrastination and delaying unnecessarily of a rich person is tantamount to zulm and oppression. And we know zulm and oppression is something that is very detestable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of who is perpetrated by. If a person makes zulm and is unjust, then we find that this is not liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under any circumstances. And we also had mentioned how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had promptly paid his debts, and had mentioned that the creatures in the earth, all the creatures in the earth and the fish in the sea, make dua for that debtor with whom the creditor is happy after his prompt payment. Similarly, irrespective of who the people that we are dealing with are, we find that this teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remains in place and intact, that we have to pay the person promptly and fully. We will mention two incidents in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to highlight to us that irrespective of who the debtor is, when he has a right upon us, then we have to fulfill that right. Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrat radiallahu anhu is a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was owing on one occasion a Jew, person that's not a Muslim, was owing him 4 dirhams. That person comes and complains to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tells him, O Prophet of Allah, this Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrat is owing me 4 dirhams. And whenever I come and claim from him, he overpowers me and he does not pay me. He procrastinates, he delays, he does not give me my dues. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam summoned Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrat and told him, pay this man his dues. Irrespective of that person being a Muslim or not, you owing him certain amount, pay him his amount. The sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know the sahaba ikram, they were there always when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam expresses or orders them to do something, they very promptly, without any hesitation and delay, they fulfill the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He takes an oath and he says, oh, in the name of that being who has sent you with the truth, O Prophet of Allah, I am unable to pay this person. In other words, I do not have the means. You are ordering me to pay him, but I do not have the means to pay him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him for the second time, pay this man his dues. He says, I take an oath by him in whose power is my life. I am unable to pay him. I do not have the means to pay him. And I have already spoken to him that you are going to send us on an expedition to Khaybar, and I am expecting that you will be giving us some goods of booty from there, and inshallah I will pay him thereafter. In other words, he gives an explanation to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I do not have the means, but But I'm not sitting here and not paying heed to this person, but I went up to him, I've explained to him the situation, and I promised him, if you save us, to send us to Khaybar on an expedition, and the booty will come, then I will pay him from there. Otherwise, I tried to satisfy him to the best of my ability. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him for the third time, pay this man his dues. Who? The Jewish person. Who's on the other side? Muslim. Person that says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. But there's no biasness here when it comes to paying of the debts. This man is owing him the debt and he's a Jew and he ought to pay him. Even despite not having the means, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, pay him his dues. Now look at how far the Sahaba used to go to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned that this Sahabi Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrat only had two pieces of cloth on his body. He had a turban and he has a sheet and a shawl that he had covered his satr with. He says he had taken out the turban and he had made it a satr for him, and he had taken out the shawl, gone to the marketplace and sold it to this Jew for 4 dirhams. Other words, from the two pieces of cloth that he had, he parted with one, and with the other one he paid his dues to the Jewish person. To show to us that under no circumstances we got reason, if you have the means, to delay when it comes to payment, even if it's a non-Muslim. Here, imagine he hasn't got sufficient clothes, still he parts. And here today, currently, what we find what we find. Person has everything under the sun. It's going for every type of journey, as I mentioned. He's donating, etc. But when it comes to paying, then he's not prepared to pay his people. He's not prepared to pay his creditors and fulfill the settlers, the score with them, especially when that person is not of his religion or if not of the same standing, is a poor person, is a person that comes around, who's walking around and selling his wares, then what happens? We oppress that person. Why? We feel he's not significant. He's a Mr. Nobody, what can he do to me? But if it's that firm that writes me 2 lawyers' letters, then very promptly I'll take action. Why? Because they will take me to task, they'll take me to the court. Here the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even a non-Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commands his companion. And for the third time when he mentioned this, the Sahaba mentioned, whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says 3 times, that used to be final. And look at the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that comes to those people that fulfill the commands despite their circumstances. He mentioned at that point in time, there was an elderly lady that was going past. And she saw him in this condition and said, oh, companion of Rasulullah, what is this? He explained to her. He mentioned that she had a shawl covering her. She took out the shawl and threw it to him and said, have this. Take this shawl. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing that this companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, up to what length he had gone to fulfill his debt, to comply with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes almost immediately. On another occasion, the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Bedouin comes. A villager comes, and we all know, don't have to go to details, who a villager is, his character, his behavior, his dressing, his mannerism, etc. Just the word villager comes is understandable. He comes there and he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, comes there to get payment for a debt that was due upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for him. And he is very rude and harsh, and he says, I will keep harassing you till you do not pay me. He's demanding and he's very harsh in his demanding. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam admonish him and tell him, do you know, you have no shame upon you. Do you know who you are addressing? Do you know who you are addressing? In other words, you are addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This person is a Bedouin. He says, I am only asking for my dues. I am only asking for what is due to me. What is the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells his companions, why are you not defending that person that has a claim? In other words, why are you not defending him? You are rebuking him. Why are you not defending him? There was another occasion when a certain person came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam very harshly and very rudely, and the companions wanted to go for him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna li sahibil haqqi maqalan," or kama qala Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the person that has a right, he has a right of demand. Person that has a right, then he has the right of demanding as well. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tolerated, he's asking him rudely. And what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do in response to this person here? He was a Bedouin. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have told him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have any wealth to pay him. Like a person comes, then we tell the person that we could not pay him. What was the reason for ducking and diving? Go up to him and tell him and explain to him your plight, and tell him when the wealth comes, I will pay him. But here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives an example for us. He calls Khawla bint Qais radiallahu ta'ala anha and tells her that give me some kajur, give me a loan of some kajur, and when I get kajur, then I will repay you. She says, may my parents be sacrificed for you, or a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, expressing her willingness. She comes to that kajur and she settles, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam settles this debt of this person. It's a Bedouin that had addressed him very harshly. Rasulullah SAW settles the debt and gives him more. Settle the debt then, gives him more. Rasulullah SAW gives him more. This person who had spoken so harshly to Rasulullah SAW, his whole attitude is changed. And he says, may Allah give you, you have paid me in full, may Allah pay you fully. You have paid, in other words, he makes a dua for Rasulullah SAW. And no, Rasulullah SAW had taken a loan, we had mentioned last Friday, where Rasulullah SAW, when he had given that the loan, Barakallahu fi ahlika wa malika. May Allah Ta'ala give you blessings in your wealth and give you blessings in your family. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes dua, pray that person, makes dua and tells him that the return for the payment is this, al-ada'u wal-hamdu, that a person should repay and praise that person. So here a Bedouin comes to the gathering of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam plays him in this manner, takes a loan and prays him even more. And the attitude of that person is, he praises Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Thereafter Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that these are the best of people. These are the best of people that support a person that has a claim. Support a person that has a claim. Today what happens, Allah Ta'ala forgive me, when a person will come to me and say, bye, Mawlana Sahab, this person is owing me 10, 20 rand, please can you intercede for me? What do we say? Bye, leave me out of this serious scenario, leave me, go to somebody else, etc. The best of people are those people that support a person that has a claim. He has a claim, you must support that person and help him. Why? Because he is justified in his claim. Who will come to his assistance? We must stand up for justice and see that justice is done. Obviously, the manner that it must be adopted must be a manner, nice, amicable manner. But the thing is, we should support that person. Then Rasulullah SAW says, words to this effect, that there is no good in that nation whose poor person cannot demand his claim without any hesitation. There's no good in that nation whose poor person cannot stand up and demand his claim without any hesitation. Why? He's afraid to demand his claim. Nobody will support him. Nobody will assist him. People will look down upon him. In other words, there's no good in that nation where a poor person cannot stand up and demand his claim without any hesitation. So here we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's example. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam exhorts the people who have taken loans and debts, etc. That is why that if we have any loans, we have any debts, that we have any dues, that we should be very prompt in paying them. We should be very prompt in paying them, because even if you get shahadat, yukfaru lishahide kullu zam illa dain. If when a person gets shahadat, then all his sin is forgiven, but that sin that is owing, the debt of his is not forgiven. One person comes to Rasulullah SAW and tells him, Araita in qutiltu fi sabilillah. O Prophet of Allah, tell me, if I become shaheed and martyred in the path of Allah, and what are my attributes? Sabiran, muhtasiban, mukbiran, ghayra mudbirin. I am all the determination, with patience and perseverance, I am fighting there. And muhtasiban, with the great hope of getting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for any other person. Mukbiran, ghayra mudbirin. I am advancing and I am not retreating. In that position, I get martyred. Yukaffirullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive my sins. Rasulullah SAW tells him, yes, all your sins are forgiven. Then Rasulullah SAW calls him back and says, illa dain. Bithalika qala Jibreel, except the debt that you are owing to people, that will not be forgiven. Despite you giving your life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except debt, that will not be forgiven. And Jibreel salatu wasalam has informed me. Today, incurring a debt has become just a way of life. Person wishes for anything, go to the bank and get some time on interest, also a loan. Carry on, buy the best house that you want, the best car that you want, the best clothes that you want, the best food that you want. Just one of those things. And here Rasulullah SAW tells us here, one another hadith tells us that the person's ruh and a person's soul is, person's soul is suspended, mu'allakun bidaynihi, in the hereafter, which is dain and which is debt that he has. So we should not unnecessarily incur debts. And if debt comes upon us, and there is any dues upon us, then we should be very prompt in paying them. Another common sickness we find in a merchant is this, that they delay in paying. They delay in paying the laborers and their workers. أُعْتِي ajira أَجْرَهُ قَبْلَ أَن يَجِفَّ عَرْقُهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The teachings of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, how beautiful they are, how meaningful they are. If you just ponder that, pay your worker, pay the person that you have employed before his perspiration dries up. Before his perspiration dries up. Other words, he has toiled and he has made effort and he has put in work for you. He has completed the task. Before that perspiration that has come out of his body can dry up, pay him his dues. Pay him his dues. Here we find the person's, sometimes his blood is drying up, but the person is not paid. And I'm not talking from my pocket. There were here instances here in our area where people came to Imana, this person had not paid me my dues. I'm a poor person. Please come intercede for me. Please come intercede for me on behalf of me. Come go and intercede. This person has not paid me my dues. Go to the person, he has a story to say. Did this person put the work? Did he make the effort? Yes, he made the effort. Why didn't you pay him? He didn't do it properly. He didn't do it this way. Okay, pay him at least the amount you feel he worked for. Give him some dues. But you flatly refuse to pay him. Do you expect that poor person to go to the courts? Where do you expect that person to go? And this is so serious in the light of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in one hadith that there are three people on behalf of whom I will come and be an opponent for you. Ana khasmuhu. I will be the opponent and come against you. One is that person who has worked for a person and you have taken out his full labor, but you have not given him his dues. You have not given him his dues. On the day of judgment, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come there against you on behalf of that person. So this is how serious it is to pay our dues, especially those people that work for us, those servants that work for us, those maids that work for us, those work people that work for us in our homes, our shops, whatever type of work they carry out. Obviously, make proper agreements so there's no misunderstanding. Make proper agreements, there's no misunderstanding. We find sometimes a person is desperate, he doesn't get a job. And a rich person feels he's too rich to make an agreement and takes the job. And then there's a dispute between the person that employed him, the employer and employee, and we find there's bitterness and strong feelings among them. Yes, give a quotation, suits the person, he takes the work, doesn't suit him, he doesn't take the work, and the friendship remains. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. This is as far as the debts are concerned, or the creditors and debtors are concerned. Then there's another aspect, another quality and attribute of a Muslim merchant. He is very frank and straightforward with his products. In order to market his products, he doesn't employ ways that are against the order of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is especially in the form of taking oaths, which has become so common. Taking oaths when a person wants to sell his wares. Normally a person comes and he does not know the item, then this person begins to take oaths that this is the best item you can get in the name of Allah, and I take qasam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't get another item like this, you will not get it at the same price, you will not get this value, I'm selling it to you to the old price, I'm selling it to you, and it carries on and on and on. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns us, iyyakum, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, iyyakum wa kasrat al halaf, فَإِنَّهُ يُنَفِّقُ ثُمَّ يَمْحَقُ أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that save yourselves from taking excessive oaths. Excessive oaths, why? Because that will market your product. ثُمَّ يَمْحَقُ, then it will become a means of destroying the barakat and blessings. It will market your product, especially when you take false oath also. That person gets carried away. This person, ya mashallah, especially in this garb, with the sunnah garb. I mention this, why? Because we hear people say that, ya Allah, I don't want to deal with this person because when it comes to payment, they're not paying. They're not good payers. As I mentioned, we should be role models. We should be ambassadors. People should come out and deal with us. But it should not happen that the people that have the outward dini garb, the people want to go away from them. So when it comes here to taking an oath, especially a person is outwardly also dressed like a Muslim, begins to take oaths, that person has no reason not to believe him. And then when he goes and sees the reality, then what happens? The deception of that person and the false oath of that person becomes exposed. And obviously, when they become exposed, do you think that person will ever come to the shop? That barakat that is there, that barakat also becomes destroyed. It is so serious to sell an item with a false oath. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, there are three groups of people that, so serious is the punishment, لا يكلمهم لا ينظر إليهم ولا يكلمهم ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم. Four types of punishment for those people. And what are those punishments? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at them with a look of mercy. وَلَا يَنْزُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمْ. Allah ta'ala will not speak to them with kindness on the day of judgment. وَلَا يَزَكِّهِمْ, will not purify them of their sins. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, and they have a very painful punishment. Who are they? The Sahaba said, خَابُوا وَخَسِرُوا, they are at a loss. They are at a loss, those people. They are losers. And they are losers and they have failed. Khabu wa khasiru, who are those people? Rasulullah has mentioned three groups of people. Al-Musbiro, the person that wears his garments below his ankle. Person that wears his garments below his ankle, this is the uniform of Rasulullah and the sunnah of Rasulullah that is taught to us. And Allah Ta'ala wants it that way, then we should abide by it. And wal-mannano, that person that expresses his favors to people that he does favors upon. That I have done this for you. Especially rich people, sometimes you find they lose their tops. And when they get angered and disturbed by the person that had shown favor, then they begin to recount all the favors. I have the one that gave you a job. I have the one that supported you. I have the one that helped you. All the favors are recounted by that person. This is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third thing is, al-munafiqu sil'atahu bil halaf al-kadhib. That person that markets his ways with false oaths. Markets his ways with false oaths. He takes oaths in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his products must move. This is the severe punishment for that person that markets his things in this manner. So taking false oaths is something else, another thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns about. One place Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that, Ya ma'ashara tujar, O gathering, an assembly of traders, فَإِنَّ الْبَيْعَ يَحْضُرُهُ اللَّغْوُ وَالْحَلَفُ, that when you're buying and selling, sometimes vain talks sets in, sometimes you take promises, then فَشُوبُوهُ بِالصَّدَقَةِ, then in order, this will draw the what? The anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So cool off the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by giving sadaqah. Give sadaqah as well, so that these things here that become, it's a sin, and the purpose is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll be saved with the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So taking false oaths, we should deal frankly with the people before us and tell them, this is the item that I have, and if you wish to purchase it, then you purchase it, and tell the reality of that item, not go beyond all bounds and begin to take false oaths just to promote that item. So here another quality, the sixth quality of a Muslim trader is he deals frankly with his people. The seventh quality is this, that he shows so much cognizance and consideration to his customers that he is kind to them and he is lenient to them and he accommodates them. If his customer comes and says that I want to return this item, then he willingly takes back that item. He does not come out with stories that once I have pressed the till, the money has gone into the till now, I will not be able to return the money, or he has a big sign there, no returns are accepted. That person, for some reason whatsoever, only Allah knows sometimes what the desperation and circumstances be with the person. Something unforeseen has befallen him, he has lost his money, he needs the money for something else, only Allah Ta'ala knows. Man akhala musliman bayatahu akhalahu Allahu atharatahu yawm al-qiyamah, or kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What great benefit and reward when a person revokes and cancels the sale of a Muslim. When he cancels that sale, a person comes to him and for some reason or the other he wants to cancel that sale. Then akhalahu Allahu atharatahu yawm al-qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cancel and wave off all his sins on the day of judgment. All his sins will be cancelled and revoked, so to say, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, just because he accommodated this Muslim person. And today we find these very principles are adopted by those people that do not believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can go to any of these stores, and as long as you have the receipt to proof of purchase, you give the item and you are given your money there with a smile. You are returned. But when it comes to the Muslim trader who does not know the real value here of accommodating this person. Some places you find the word nadiman, manakamal nadiman, the person that is regretful and remorseful for that sale. He's bought it and now he wants to give it back and he wants to return it, then we should take it and should have yakin in this. It's mentioned that one person had opened a shop and a store, and when this incident had taken place, he had closed the store. He said, my object was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must forgive me all my sins. I was waiting for the day when somebody can come here and ask me to cancel the transaction, and as that is being done, alhamdulillah, my object is achieved by running this business. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, give us the tawfiq to acquaint ourselves with these principles, characteristics and attributes of Muslim trader, which I mentioned is a hallmark and which has a lasting effect on the hearts and minds of the people around him. Inshallah, will continue. As you know, tomorrow is the day of Ashura, and the day of Ashura has great significance, and one of the things that I prescribe is to fast on this Mubarak day. And fast, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, we should fast for 2 days, opposing the Jews. They used to also fast, either fast on the 9th and 10th, or the 10th and 11th. The 9th and 10th is today and tomorrow, and the 10th and 11th is tomorrow and the following day. Another virtue that has come also for the day of Ashura, the person that spends generously on his family, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be generous upon him and give him expansion throughout the year. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to honor this day, save ourselves from the disobedience of Allah ta'ala at all times, and especially on such Mubarak occasions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.